Welcome to KBS World Radio, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Books on Demand, a show that introduces a treasure trove of Korean short stories to global audiences. Today we introduce A Wandering Sailor by Yoo Yeon-hee. I'm your host Karen Choi, and please stay tuned.
As shipping companies refrained from hiring old sailors since the Sewol ferry accident, the labor market at Jungangdong was overflowing with sailors who wanted to board even the dingiest boat. An old sailor named Kang was one of those people who would be grateful to get on a junk boat. The more sea experience he gained, the more he seemed to get tough and nasty. If he died, he would bleed poison. How else would you describe searching desperately for a lighthouse if not poisonous to the liver? But the horseshoe crab poison is a valued commodity. The rare blue blood of the horseshoe crab was said to be the key substance for an antidote. The horseshoe crab's enduring power, which helped the species last for some 400 million years, was highly valued, but poison from an old sailor's body is nothing but waste. The helmsman was taking in a view from the bridge wing. He was different from Kang in many ways. Maybe because of the generation gap, he doesn't emit poison even in a fog like this. Even when the fog walked in from the sea, the helmsman was simply amazed by it. Look at that. The fog is walking over here. The fog actually strode over. Kang's hair stood on its end when he saw the fog marching toward him, like an army over the vast open sea. What the heck is that? What kind of trouble would it bring? The fear suppressed deep inside Kang's mind opens his eyes.
Yoo Yeon-hee's A Wandering Sailor, published in 2022, is a story about a ship captain, surnamed Kang, who struggles to survive on his 28-year-old ship in the thick fog. Bang Min-ho, professor of Korean literature at Seoul National University, talks about the main character and the sea.
Many risks exist in the sea, and a sailor must accumulate poison inside of him in order to face these risks. Poison is a metaphor for one's resolve or determination needed to survive in this tough world. Having built his career in the sea, Kang knows how dangerous the seas are and what risks they hold. But the young, inexperienced helmsman doesn't know how scary the sea can be. It's much like the old people knowing that the world is full of obstacles and traps, while the young people don't realize the dangers of life. This story is about how tough and dangerous life is.
The fog on land comes with the wind and dissipates like smoke, but it's different in the sea. The fog, visible yet shapeless, is a tricky thing, but the helmsman proposes a ridiculous idea to outpace the fog. Why don't we run? We can outrun the fog because it's walking. Kang rejects this idea. What if the fog overtakes the ship? What if another fog awaits the ship when he thought he had finally beat the fog? Although Kang has many questions, he decides to speed up the ship, like the helmsman suggested. Kang was reminded of his son, who was 2 years younger than the reckless helmsman. How long are you going to live like this? I have no idea. Kang used to brag that he would retire when his son graduated from college and got a job at an energy company. But the son was dismissed just 3 years after he was hired because he became a whistleblower. He declared war against the so-called nuclear power mafia and devoted all his time to researching this issue. Kang tried to dissuade his son from engaging in the fruitless endeavor, but to no avail. While his son fought in court against the nuclear power company for 4 years, Kang had to resume his sailing job.
The fog came in and out of the ship's port side and starboard. The old ship shuddered at the speed of a mere 15 knots. But strangely, a bizarre feeling of refreshing coolness swept by him in spite of anxiety. Was it because he had raced against the fog? I will do it right now. Why should I put it off? A delay wouldn't solve anything. That was true. Kang had put off many things in life. In order to sail around the world, he had put off the coziness of living with his family under one roof and the experience of seeing his only son grow up. He wasn't there when his wife or son was sick and never shared a hobby or worked out together. He lived without the luxury of hearing his son's problems or talking about what he had in mind. That prick, does he think I like postponing stuff? I put off things because I had no other choice. If I had put off being the head of a household, who would have taken care of my family? Who would have paid for your transportation or your lawsuit? I exude poison and wander in the fog because of you. Do you think I like living in the middle of the sea because I don't have any dreams or a sense of justice? Come to think of it, the sun was the fog to Kang. Kang roared at the fog that stayed in front of the ship. Wow, we won. He looked around to see the fog gone.
Kang wondered what his son would think about him racing against the fog with his old ship. Here's literary critic Chun So-young to explain the father's life.
While accelerating the boat and outrunning the fog, Kang is reminded of his son's recklessness, but at the same time, feels strangely refreshed. Sailing the boat so daringly seemed to have roused the urges hidden deep inside of him. Kang wanted to live his life without hesitation like his son. He didn't want to be tied down by his job, but rather wanted to enjoy life with his friends and family. But he thinks that his son is living the opposite life and resents him by identifying the fog as the son.
Kang slowed down once he sailed out of the fog. Not long after, the fog crept in again. He wondered if the fog had caught up with him or a new wave of fog had come. When the fog blurred the view, Kang started sounding the horn to avoid colliding with another ship. The fog fanned out over the sea and veiled the front of the ship, too. The boat cried long and deep. The cry of the old ship was heavy, having been repeatedly repaired, painted over, and passed between different nationalities and owners. "I'm here. I'm drifting in the fog. Don't forget about me." The old ship's moan spread through the fog. The helmsman who went out in search of a lighthouse came back shivering and empty-handed.
"What does your father do for a living?" "I don't have a father. I only had a mother. I thought that was normal when I was little, that everyone only had a mother." Kang regretted asking that question. His son started avoiding him when Kang came home after one of his voyages. It was around the time the boy entered elementary school. His son had grown noticeably when Kang went home once every 10 months or in 2 years. The boy didn't welcome him home. He acted awkward around his long absent father or avoided him altogether. It was no use buying him toys or taking him to an amusement park. Then one day, he came out of a shower to hear a noise from the terrace. "Ship, oh ship, please take my father away." Kang's wife ran out of the kitchen while making dinner to scold the boy. "No, tell father to go back to his house, to his ship." Kang's heart was broken and he was hurt. "It's no good having a father like me. There are many bad fathers, but there is no such thing as a useless father. I grow anxious whenever I hear a foghorn because it reminds me of my father. A lighthouse feels like mother and a foghorn like father. Because I can't see or touch them, although they tell me where a boat is and where to steer the boat. That was true. The sound of a foghorn travels farther and wider than the light from a lighthouse to indicate the location of the ship. Did he say there were bad fathers, but no useless fathers? Does my son think so too?
Kang tells the young helmsman that he has become greater than his father and a proud sailor. Then the second officer who came for the next shift told Kang that he got an email. The email was from his son, and it was titled, A Great Survivor. It's 2 a.m., the hour of the sea. Father, you said that on the sea, 24 hours are one unit. A ship sails 24 hours a day, so 2 or 3 in the morning are ordinary times of the day. I went to Seoul yesterday and just came back home today. The Lawyers for a Democratic Society has decided to help with my lawsuit. When I was leaving the office, a lawyer said that I was a brave man to have waged this legal battle for 4 years and that I must come from a well-to-do family. I choked up and was reminded of you.
I've been sucking my father's blood dry to continue with the lawsuit. My father was a sailor on an ocean-going vessel, and he is sailing on the far sea even right now. When I was little, I whined that I didn't like him coming home and threw a tantrum so that he would go back to his ship. How hurt he must have felt back then. When an accident happens at a nuclear plant, the sea is the first thing to be destroyed. When the sea is destroyed, humans cannot survive, and a terrible disaster would come. A disaster that cannot be overcome with the benefits gained from nuclear power. Once the sea is destroyed, sailors like Father would lose their jobs. The world of breadwinners who worked on the sea away from their homes and families will be gone. So how can I, the son of a sailor, stand by and do nothing? So, a lawyer joined me in my fight. I wanted to fight against the giant force of nuclear power as an individual. My motivation came from my father. When I was applying to colleges, my father told me about the horseshoe crab. The horseshoe crab had been around since 439 million years ago. It was one of the longest surviving species on Earth. The greatest survivor is the DNA that has endured a long time. Don't get obsessed over the years spent preparing for college. Think how short that time is compared to that of the horseshoe crab. He told me to look far ahead into the future. I learned from my father how to push ahead like the horseshoe crab. Father is sailing the sea, even in the early morning hours or late into the night for the sake of a foolish son like me. Who would support this cause if a sailor's son ignored the sea? I'm writing this email to explain why I got involved in the issue when I can't even make a living for myself. Dear Father, who sails the dark seas even at this hour, I still have a lot to learn from you.
Kang went up to the deck after reading the email. The helmsman was looking for seagulls, as the presence of birds indicated that a lighthouse was nearby. The helmsman pointed at the dawning sky.
Kang looked at the sky the helmsman was pointing at. Something seemed to be moving in the blotchy sky. What appears to be a plastic bag was falling and then soaring back up in the grayish-blue sky. It's a seagull, a black-tailed gull. A lighthouse must be nearby. Kang took the binoculars from him and searched through the skies. Something seemed to be moving in the whitish air, No, it wasn't a seagull. What was moving was not an object, but air currents quivering. The foghorn shook the air and carved out a sailor's path. In the last scene, Kang realizes from his son's email that the young man was trying to protect the sea and Kang's way of life. Kang believed that his values and actions differed from those of his son, but they were simply trying to defend their lives in their own way. So, the father and son end up reconciling with each other. Kang and his ship are expected to get out of the fog and reach land. Just as the horseshoe crabs had survived eons, Kang and his son will patiently move through the fog and survive it just like the horseshoe crabs.
Thank you for tuning in to Books on Demand. This week we read A Wandering Sailor by Yoo Yun-hee. This has been Karen Choi, and please join me again next week.